Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, February 28th, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. till 11 p.m. Eastern Standard. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, support NLA by donating $5 a month or more, clicking on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, going to be picking up where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in the final chapter. So it'll be Luke chapter 24, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. The end of the Gospel according to St. Luke.
Okay, if anybody has any questions or comments or anything that you might want to share, it's star 6 to get into the queue, star 6. Terry, do we have any announcements or any questions?
Got a couple of them. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm getting back to that spot here.
Anyway, star 6 and 1, anybody wants to the queue? I only got one person in the queue.
Good evening, John and Gerard and everyone. Does anyone know of any state laws that require that a civic education between what we were taught in the schools? I'm not sure exactly what the question is. It's misworded.
Well, yeah, there's a federal law requiring that any school that receives federal money, which obviously includes all of the public schools, are required to... teach civics course, and that every school in America gets some kind of federal funding. I like what Trump had said over the weekend now, and he's mentioned this before, but he brought it up on his speech, that the money should follow the child, and people should be able to take their children, put them in any school they want, private, public, or whatever. So that'd be nice. But anyway, there is a requirement by the federal. Now, there could be some state requirements. I have never heard of any. Doesn't mean there's not there. But remember, we don't need law. We don't need law in order to require the government to do something. But we do have law that we put down so it guides them and we can point to them. And there was some legislated law, there's federal law, that requires schools to teach the civics. Of course, we have to be careful of the pablum they might teach them. Hopefully, we'll be able to get something moving on that and even require a certain curriculum so that we can make sure our children are taught proper education concerning our heritage and our civics. I wouldn't worry about a state law, but there is a federal law. I'm trying to think. I was going to look that up because I did see that question come in earlier this week. I'll have to look for it. Maybe next week I'll make note of it. I know we've brought it up before. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, one other one. Last Monday, I heard John talking about EMPs, solar flares, and am receptive to the possibility of them. But There are immediate problems right in front of us that need addressing, such as 5G, smart meters, and chemtrails that work to complement each other in conjunction with the jab. I am surprised not to see and hear more aggressive activism against them like I have witnessed in the past. It seemed to have settled down in the sense of urgency. My question regarding the EMPs, etc., is, does it have a bodily impact on us?
The EMPs, to my knowledge, it does not. But I would imagine if you're touching something that could be electrical, that would pick up that electrical current, that, of course, you could get electrocuted, just like a lightning strike, I would imagine. But I'll open up the page that I put up concerning this. It's on electromagnetic pulse protection. We announced it last week. I found it. Since I've discovered it, I myself bought three of them. One for my car, one for my home, and one for my generator. So it's available. This was required by law. Well, actually, Trump, when he came into office back in 2017, became aware of it, and I don't know why nobody picked this up before. I guess they really didn't want to, because that would be a nice way to get chaos across the nation, is for an EMP. But in any event, Trump did set forth a requirement to discover an answer for this problem, to collect, you know, to protect our electrical systems. And I think it was 2019, they finally released something and started working with it, and some people are selling it now for about a year, I believe, the people who actually worked on the project, I imagine. But in any event, there is quite a bit of paperwork on this. We do have access to that paperwork. So you can go to our page here and get some more information, anybody who wants to do that. And anybody who orders through our website, or even goes directly and puts in the coupon NLA, they will get a $50 deduction off of their EMP system. But anyway, go to the page, read it, find out some more information about it. Here's a guideline that's been unclassified by the Department of Homeland Security for EMP protection. And you can read through that. I forget how many pages it is. There's also some military testing that has been done. And then, of course, there's other information concerning the warranty and how things work. But again, you can read all these things and make a decision. It's pretty cheap, actually, when you figure out the cost. I was getting ready to build a Faraday cage and for my generator, and I was kind of not knowing what to do with my home or my car. Because there was recently an EMP the sun put off. Thankfully, it didn't head this way. But if it did, it could shut everything down. But again, we're thankful that our entire electrical grid is protected now. Now, what's kind of strange, though, is because Trump made the point, not Trump, but the paperwork made the point that the electric companies should notify their customers of this potential protection, and I haven't heard anything. And they've been installing this since 2019 throughout the grid. Why hasn't our electrical companies told us about this? So anyway, anybody interested in that, that's what that is. Plenty of information to read through. And of course, if you go up and click on the links to purchase it, there's more information. There's some videos and stuff, but we have a few videos here too. There's more information up on their website. Okay. Anything else?
Nope. That's all of those. And just to note, Brent is here.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I think what we'll do tonight is we'll go over to Brent first. Excuse me. And then we'll pick up the questions, Gerard and myself, and we'll take it from there. And at 10 o'clock, Gerard, I'll pass the board over to you. But, Brent, are you ready? Brent, are you ready? You're muted if you're trying to talk. Did anyone mute?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, all right. Let me introduce you. This is Brent Allen Winters, common law lawyer. He's the author of the book, The Excellence of the Common Law. And his website is commonlawlawyer.com.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, appreciate it. This is Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com. www.commonlawyer.com. Go to the website. It's not for business as much as it is for fun. There's a lot to listen to. You can listen to it there. And my comments are my own. And I hope that they're helpful to somebody out there. Well, I want to tell a story about my own father. I went to see him the other day. I try to stay regular. He's 95. He's not a spring chicken anymore. Mom's 90. And they're telling me things now that I hadn't heard before. And if I heard them, I wasn't listening. That could be possible, I suppose. But somehow we got on a subject yesterday. When I went over, we were sitting in the front room down at the home place. And Dad was talking, and he stopped, and Mom started talking about Dad going to church. Now, there's a point in this story, so bear with me. I know it's just a personal story, but they started going to church. Dad had, as a 17-year-old boy, been flung into the teeth of an enemy that came forth like demons from hell. They called them the Japs back then, and they were pretty nasty. And so he was in the South Pacific, going from island to island, and he got a baptism of reality that I will never understand. Well, then he came home a couple years later, and he decided there had to be a better way to live life. So, at the behest of my great-grandmother on my mother's side of the family, who happened to live about three-quarters of a mile up on top of the hill, away from the bottom where he lived, they used to have to walk and get their mail all at one place. The boxes, they wouldn't take it down over the hill. Well, they never did. Even when I was there, I remember that they wouldn't go down the bottom, the mail carrier. Well, for whatever reason, she talked him into coming to church where they went to church, over at White Oak. And so Mom was going to tell me about that. Dad was very young, and he was in a meeting there, and they were electing officers, little country church. Wasn't very many people there. It's not there anymore. But they were electing officers, and they do that once a year. And when they'd elect officers, they'd read the qualifications for officers out of the Bible. Just remind everybody who was qualified and who wasn't, to keep that in mind. And so they read out of the epistle that Paul had written to Timothy about the qualification of elders, and somebody then said, well, I nominate Fred Winters. And my mother wasn't participating in the meeting, but she was 16 years old and she was listening. And she told me, and I'd never heard this till yesterday, she told me that she thought to herself, now wait a minute, they just read the qualifications, and it's clear as crystal that Fred Winters, they called him Junior back then because he was named after his father, Junior Winters is Junior. He's not an elder or anything, doesn't have a white hair on his head. And number two, it says he's supposed to be the husband of one wife. And she said he hadn't even got one wife. How can he be the husband of one wife? How can he be an elder when he doesn't even have a wife yet? Well, wasn't anything she could do to stop it. Next thing you know, he's in office as an elder at the church, and he's, even though he'd been on the far side of the world and all, that doesn't necessarily make you wise. It takes a lot of time to be wise. I finally figured that out, and the older I get, the more I understand it. I've never understood why anybody would read a book that anybody had written that was under the age of 60. I don't know if it ought to be allowed to people even write books unless they're at least 60 years old. They lead too many people astray. I don't care what their experiences have been. There's experience isn't enough. It just takes time, a lot of time. For hard cases, it takes time to learn. Well, he became an elder, and then all the time I knew him when I was growing up, he was an elder. And he did the duties of an elder. He'd go around on Sunday afternoons and with his Bible, and I'd go with him, and we'd visit all the folk that couldn't get out because they weren't able anymore. They were too old. That was a time when they didn't, nursing homes weren't the big thing. If they had them, I didn't know about them. People just stayed at home, and family took care of them best they could, unless they got so sick they had to go to the hospital. But here he was, an elder, and I got to asking him about it. I said, "Is that true?" He said, "That's true." I said, "Was that a smart thing to have done?" He said, "No, that wasn't a smart thing to have done, but I didn't know any better either at the time." And I said, "Well, you had to get on a pretty serious learning curve, didn't you?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "I spent a lot of time just reading my Bible, trying to figure out what I was supposed to do." I said, "Well, did you ever figure it out?" Of course, I knew he did. And I said, "I remember you talking to people that you thought were smarter than you. Some of them were, some of them weren't." He'd have long conversations from older men that some of them had shown that they had gained enough knowledge that they knew things he didn't. But the funny thing about all that is, it worked out okay, I suppose, but it wasn't what the Bible said. And it wasn't what the law said. You know, Christian folk take the Bible to be the revealed will of God, and the will of the sovereign is law. And if you violate the will of the sovereign, well, put it this way, if you do the will of the sovereign, obey the standards he sets forth, it just goes better in the long run. That's all I'm saying. The Lord do work in mysterious ways. I understand that. And he somehow uses our stupidity and even our disobedience to our own good. He promises to do that if we're his people, that is. But why is it that older men there at that church would read the standards point blank, and then one of them turn around and violate it just like that? Well, that's the norm. That's not the exception. That's the norm among all men, to know the law, the standard, whatever the standard is, read it, and then forget it immediately and turn around and do something else. And we live in that kind of a world that's gone to seed, and those that are responsible to impart to us the standards of God, the laws of nature, unwritten in the creation around us, and the laws of nature's God written, those that are responsible to impart those to us, namely, men of the cloth, and lawyers, that includes judges, aren't doing it. Well, why aren't they doing it? Well, one of the biggest reasons why they're not doing it is they've never engaged their minds with that law. For instance, the Constitution of the United States. It takes effort. You can make a lot of money as a lawyer or a judge or a clergyman and not have to really know anything about what you're doing. I've talked to priests that have told me that they don't know diddly about the Bible. And if I get into discussion with them, I had one on the radio once with me, He said, well, let me restart this discussion, Brent. Just say, I don't know anything about the Bible. Okay. Well, that's not a good sign. But preachers, I talk about priests, preachers are, in general, no better. They're exceptions. Well, the same thing is true of lawyers and judges. They haven't engaged their minds. Back in the Midwest, at the University of Illinois, the old ag school there, it's one of those old land-grant ag schools, along with Purdue and the University of Missouri and Texas A&M is an old land-grant school. Back in when they founded the University of Illinois, during the Lincoln, Abe Lincoln's presidential administration, I believe he's the one that signed the bill establishing the land-grant university there. Well, the first president of that university was Milton Gregory. Couldn't remember his name. His tombstone is right there on the campus. He died. He did a lot to establish good things, long since forgotten now. Nobody gives two hoots and a holler about Milton Gregory, except me and a few other people maybe that I don't know about. Well, Milton Gregory was an educator by profession, and Milton wrote a book. I don't know that he wrote any other books but this book. It's quick read. It's in paperback. I believe you can still get it. The name of the book is The Laws of Teaching. The Laws of Teaching. And I think there's seven laws he talks about in there. That's not a long book, but it's profound. It's profound because it's so stupidly simple. That appeals to people like me. Well, his first law of teaching is, and I'm going to quote it as I best remember it, in order for a teacher to teach, the teacher must know that which he would teach. In order for a teacher to teach, the teacher must know that which he would teach. Now, that's not a difficult concept. Don't get stressed out thinking there's some riddle there. Bottom line is, I've heard it been put this way. You cannot impart what you do not possess. You cannot impart what you do not possess. If you don't have $100, you can't give me $100. And if you don't have knowledge of the law, you can't inform anybody else what it is. If you do, you'll be wrong. You may think you know and you don't even. But a teacher must know that which he would teach. That's Milton Gregory. What does the Bible say about stuff like that? Well, there is a well-known verse of one of the prophets of the Old Testament, and it goes like this. My people, now my people are the militia of the 12 several tribes of Israel. When you see that in the Bible, in most cases, if it's not talking about the militia of the 12 several tribes, it's talking about the militia of some country, some people, so other than Israel. But in most cases, it's Israel. And it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, how are they going to get knowledge? Well, they're only going to get it if somebody gives it to them. And the knowledge is derived. You don't just have it. It's got to come from somebody else. And it's got to come from somebody else. If it's not from God, it has to come from another person. But to put it even more to the point, all knowledge is gotten from experience. All knowledge that is the knowledge that makes a difference is gotten from experience. Now, it may be your experience, but it is the exclusive domain of Adam's race, differentiating him from other animals. Yes, we have the characteristic of animals, no question about that, but we're very much different, of course. Very much different. In a lot of ways. But one of the ways is that not only can we learn from our own experiences, but we can also learn from the experiences of others. Animals don't have that prerogative. As is said, a cat, for instance, will only sit on a hot stove lid once. He'll never do it again. He burns that sensitive part of his body. You won't catch him doing it again. But a cat is different than a man. If I see a cat set on a hot stove lid, or I see another man set on a hot stove and burns his biscuits, well, I can learn from that bad experience of that other fellow. The cat can't do that. If he can, he's never proven it. He just learns from his own experiences. Well, we're watching a lot of things happen. We're watching people do stupid things. It's in the news right now. It's in the news every day. And we can learn from those bad experiences that other people have. That's why it's good to pay attention to your surroundings. But also, we have control of our own experiences. And it is an experience. Learning itself, just from reading the true standards that God has revealed to us, is a powerful experience. Let me give you an example. This happened to me this morning. And I'm a word kind of a guy. I like to study words and find out what they mean, trace their etymology back, find out where they came from, that kind of thing. I got to reading about this fellow. Was born in Freeport, Illinois. Freeport. A town of about, I think it's probably 25,000 people live there now. It's in northern Illinois. Just before you get to Wisconsin. Across the cheese curtain, as they say. And this fellow, real smart, he was in high school. I think he graduated high school in 1920, somewhere thereabouts. And somehow he got into Harvard from this little town that didn't have 25,000 people in it back then, nothing but farmers. And he got a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a doctor's degree. And he was a grandson of a German immigrant. And his grandfather said, he could speak German, but he said to his family constantly, "We're not Germans, we're Americans, we speak English." He insisted that all of his family speak English, and he insisted and was hard on himself, but he learned it. His mother was Dutch, and she was from New. Her family had immigrated in the early days to New Amsterdam. Those of you in New York will probably know that's New York. It was, used to be New Amsterdam. She was from an old family. Well, he got his PhD, and he taught German. He was a linguist. He taught German at Harvard. But then by his own testimony, he was looking around and studying some things, and he ran across something that intrigued him, and he started studying Sanskrit, which is the most ancient of the Indo-European languages, and he started studying Gothic. He had a Gothic Bible that he studied. You know, that's an old Germanic tongue, too. And this other fellow told him, he said, "You know, I've noticed," he said, "if you take a word that occurs more often than any other word in a language, for example, if you take the word the," now he didn't say this, but I've always read that the word the makes up about 1/7 of everything said and spoken in English, 1/7 of the words, the. He said, "You take the, whatever is the most oft-used word in a language, and it will make up about 20%, I said 7% of that language, 7% of the words used. And they said, but if you take the word and, for instance, that's the second most occurring word in the English tongue. You take the second most occurring word in any tongue, and it will occur half of the percentage of times that the most occurring word will occur. In other words, the word the occurs 7% of the time in the English tongue, and be the second most used word, well, it occurs about 3.5% of the time. Well, that fascinated me. By the way, there's a name, it's a law, something that is observed. It's observed, and I've been following up on that, and I have I use electronic means on my computer, and I've tested that theory. I did that today. I was so fascinated. I said, I've never heard this before. Why haven't I heard this? Well, the reason I hadn't heard it was because they asked this fella if he would, they wanted him to come to Washington, D.C. He was so, his prestige was so great at Harvard. He was the only professor there that, and he was, hadn't even made age 40 yet, and he's the only professor there. They said, you can teach any course on any subject you want to teach. Just let us know. We don't care what the subject is. He was that kind of a guy. He liked to take big principles like that, and he did that, by the way. He took that principle and started applying it to all sorts of things, and he saw that it always came out the same. The proportions always came out the same when he applied it to human behavior. So when the war started, they wanted him to come and help with the war effort in Washington, D.C., take a leave of absence from Harvard. He was the leading mind on several subjects by that point, and all came out of that law that he observed, and just the way things are. They aren't going to change. That's how it works. And he said, no, I'm not going to help you fight the war. I think that's not a good idea, and I just don't want to get involved. Well, it wasn't too many years later. He was dead, and under less than clear circumstances. So we don't know everything about why that happened. That's just the rest of the story. But when I saw that today, and I, by the way, I followed up on it, I went to the Bible. I went to the Greek New Testament. And I said, how many times does the definite article occur in the Greek New Testament? Well, I have electronic means, and so I counted them. And it was about over 20,000 times. Now, how many words in the Greek New Testament? I found out, I forget what it was, but what the upshot was, it was the definite article was 1/7 of the words of the Greek New Testament, just like he had said about English. Almost exactly 1/7. And then I took the word and in Greek, kai. It's the second most occurring word in the Greek tongue, just like our and is in our tongue, and found out it occurs, wasn't exactly 3.5% of the time, half of 7%, the second most oft occurring word, but it was real close. Of course, the Greek New Testament is not the sum total of all the Greek language, and that was what he was saying. But I did see an evaluation of the novel Moby Dick by Herman Melville. Same result. Well, that is an illustration. And it was a personal experience. An experience, you see. Thinking is an experience. And I saw something I had never noticed before. And this fellow brought it to my attention. And I said, wow, in my mind. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, said the prophet. Well, knowledge, whenever you see the word knowledge in the Bible, in the Old Testament, yada, it's not just knowing something intellectually. It's experience. The word means knowledge by experience. You know, like the old timers used to say, if you really want to know something, do it. Don't read it out of a book. Just do it. Well, don't forget, thinking is doing. And there's some thinking that becomes extremely, exceedingly experiential. The aha moments are pleasant moments when you see something you hadn't seen before. So I encourage you, and I'll end with this, just encourage you to do not be a part of the problem. It appears to me, and I said this Sunday, it appears to me that we are not in danger of judgment. We are in judgment. We don't have to speculate about it anymore. God has whistled. He just whistled, and here come the evil to teach us a lesson. That's the way it appears to me. I'm just giving you my studied opinion on the subject. And the only question left is, what are we to do about it? Well, I don't know about you, but when I see a cop and I'm driving and he's acts like he's following me, I don't know why. I suppose it's just human nature. I reach up and I just feel to make sure my seatbelt's on. Or make sure my headlights are on. If I, you know, I'm in town, it's hard to tell. Little things like that. Well, if you think there's a problem, maybe it's time you did something. If you think we're facing judgment, or you think we're in judgment, whichever it is, the thing to do is to do what you're supposed to be doing, and you can't do that unless you know what you're supposed to be doing, and you can't know unless you somehow derive that knowledge. So there are only two volumes of fundamental American law. Our Declaration of 76 cites them. The laws of nature, unwritten. That's the laws of nature, and the laws of nature's God. The laws of nature, unwritten, lex non scripta, William Blackstone calls them. Calls those laws. God has revealed them to us, in all that he has made. And we can observe how things are, and they're not going to change, just like that law of linguistics I told you about a minute ago. Laws of nature, unwritten, and the laws of nature's God, says Blackstone. That phrase means the law written, which he says is the Bible. Those were well-known phrases when that was put in the Declaration of 76. That's what they mean. That's what we must give attention to, or we will be destroyed. That's my comments for this evening, John. Thank you so very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Brent. All right. I did notice, I realized that in the question that I had, that someone had asked before, they mentioned something about 5G. And, you know, I had looked up into that myself. I was curious. A little confused on some of it because, and again, you know, it's hard to believe anything people tell us. But in my understanding, and Gerard, are you here, Gerard? Maybe you can respond a little bit on this because I think you have a little more knowledge than I do on this. But my understanding on 5G is that it is extremely dangerous. And on one hand, I heard some people speak about the danger potential, but the amount of energy that they were putting through this system wasn't enough to injure you. But then I've seen some other things where to the contrary of that. So I understand that when you go into the 5G, that if you're within the area of the 5G, it could cause all kinds of problems with you. So, but Gerard, what do you know about that? Because someone was curious about that 5G. If you can expound a little more on that.
Yeah, hang on a minute. I can't.
And if anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1, into the queue. Any questions, corrections?
Yeah, it's not good. And they can actually use, you know, they're putting it on each pole outside of houses. There are some scientists that are claiming that it's actually a weapon, that they can direct it. And, you know, it goes pretty deep because they're also claiming that they can use it to activate certain stuff that they put in our bodies. So there's, you know, conspiracy theories or conspiracies about how in these shots there were things that would react and assemble themselves, these nanobots and different things that they have floating around, and they would use 5Gs to activate it. And that way you could walk around with this vaccine in you and it would, you'd be fine. until they targeted you for whatever or an area, and they can activate whatever it was that they had floating around in these vaccines to activate and then, you know, make you sick or kill you. So we don't, you know, 5G.
And the high levels also for anybody, I would presume, from what I read, could also anyway, it's kind of dangerous, no?
Yeah, and any of that. RFI is, it'll burn you. And, you know, it does different things to the body. Anybody that's a ham radio operator knows that radio frequency is damaging. If you're a ham radio operator, you're supposed to know how much you're putting out. The police officers used to have the walkie-talkie radios that they would hold up, and the antenna went in front of their face, and it was making cataracts in their eyes. So they said, we'll put it down on a belt, and we'll give them a microphone that they could talk to, so then the radiation won't be up near their head. Well, what happened? They started getting kidney cancer and kidney this and kidney, because that thing was on their belt next to their kidney. Now, these are just regular radios with RF frequency. 5G goes even further than that. So It's definitely true. You have to be careful. Is it necessary? I don't think it is. I think they have technology that they're holding back from us that will work better than all the communications we have right now. So, it's all part of that plan to take things over in control, as far as I can see. And I've done a lot of reading on it, and I've even forgot some of what I learned because I did a lot of it early on. And the same thing with the smart meters on the houses and things like that. Some people are more affected by that stuff than others. You know, we're very individual organisms, and that's why they've had trouble even trying to come up with a bioweapon or a poison that would kill everybody, because it just won't. You know, we're just like cockroaches almost in a certain sense. You can throw this noxious poison over everybody, and a percentage of the people will come out unscathed. And they don't know how to predict, you know, who or why that happens, but it does. And I think part of the plan was, you know, when they realized that they couldn't just kill everybody with one single shot, then they said, well, you know, we'll do stuff to lower their immune system. That was part of their plan, is to put stuff in our food, additives, you know, poor nutrition, and don't forget, you know, it's such an evil thing, and only the devil could weave this stuff together the way they do, because the bottom line is, you know, there's always a good excuse for some of the stuff they're doing, because they make more money. The food lasts longer, you know. I mean, you know, one of the things that amazes me is they've made like all our vegetables GMO. A lot of them, most of them. You have to be careful. You have to read labels. But you take a pepper. I don't know if you buy any peppers, you know, green, red, whatever. You can put them things in the refrigerator or leave them on the table. They don't rot. They sit there forever. It's not normal. If you grow an organic pepper out of your garden and you leave it laying around the kitchen, within a week it should be rotten. It should have turned, you know. But these GMO ones, they're like plastic. That's not good, putting something like that through your body thinking that it's going to give you nutrition. It's just not. And so, you know, we use the term holistic. You have to look at things for the whole organism and the whole society. And that's, modern medicine wants to drill down and look at things in a tighter and tighter way. And that's part of the problem. They're treating the body as pieces, like unrelated to the other part of the body. But we know that's not true. So, you know, and I mean, that's fine, you know, when you're doing microsurgery and stuff like that, you can do some very great stuff. But if you never stand back and look at the whole organism, you might be doing great things over here on the hand, but guess what? You're ruining the rest of the organism because you're not looking at the total picture. And that's where we're at. This great awakening that's happening, all this stuff is going to come out. and there is more rhyme and reason to it than you can imagine. And everybody's jaw is going to hit the ground. When you see all the things that they've been doing to us, it says the hidden things will no longer remain hidden. And that's what's going to happen. People are going to wake up, and then there's going to be a scream that is so loud it's heard around the world. People are going to say, how did we allow this to happen? And we're just about there now. It's happening around us, all around us. And
very close. Yep.
And I'm thinking that, you know, I have a reputation in my neighborhood. You know, I was on town council. I'm a mouthpiece, you know. And I always stood for conservative values and things like that. But I did get a reputation as a conspiracy theorist, everything, you know. So all these things I had people coming up telling me years later, they said, everything you said is coming true. So I said, I'm going to make a big banner that spans my whole property line in the front yard. And at the right time, I'm going to put it up, and it's going to say, I told you so. But anyway, this is what's happening. You have to get used to it, and you have to get your head around it. And there's going to be things that even though I think I'm in the know, I don't even know, probably just scratch the surface of everything that they did and everything that's going on. It's going to be a very crazy time to be alive.
About everything they say is a lie, you know?
Everything. It's so, look, you can pretty much do the opposite of what the media says and be safe. Mm-hmm. You know, if they say, go outdoors, you better stay inside. If they say stay inside, you better come out. I'm telling you.
What they did with this crazy thing.
Everybody
stay out of the sun.
It's all a lie.
Don't go to the beach.
Wear a mask. People just believe we've been programmed and brainwashed to get all our information off of that black mirror, that cell phone, that computer screen, and then we don't question it. And if it's on there, it must be gospel. And it's a form of mind control. So people's worlds are going to fall apart when they realize that everything they learned, just about everything, is a lie. It's a lie. Whatever they told us was a lie. And what are we going to do about it? You know, this is a dangerous time also, because you don't always get good coming out from the truth being dumped on people all at once. What happens is people go into shock. And how they handle it and how they come out of it determines the world that we're going to live in after that. And no matter what we do and where we go, we have to make sure that we never let anybody get into position to pull this kind of wool over our eyes, that nobody has the only
way that's going to happen is if the people get up and demand by taking authority and power.
Right.
They need to demand to themselves is really what they need to do, that they are going to have government by consent. We don't have to ask for anything. We don't have to demand anybody for that. We need to get up and demand ourselves to get up and do what we have to do. And, of course, that's what we do here at National Liberty Alliance, trying to get people to raise up on the grassroots level to take control of their local government and thereby their county, their state, and federal, all from the local. All political process is local. So.
And that's right. Really all we have control over, John.
And that's all we need to control.
Right.
Control our courts and control our political process around us, which includes, of course, everybody has a representative in Congress. So let's control that individual. We need to get the 17th Amendment out of there so we can give the senators back to the states. It's the state's job to control the senators. And everything else is local.
Well, they have tried to take the power and distill it down and bring it to a centralized instead of decentralized. Mm-hmm. And if we the people are going to control things, then we really, it's the opposite they told us. The more you get down to the grassroots level, the more powerful you should become. Because if you got control of your county, guess what? The federal government doesn't have a place to put its foot down then and usurp power, because the people will control it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you control ultimately your sheriff, that is the key, because he enforces the law and protect you from the feds and everybody and any kind of an unlawful warrant they can protect you from. So, let's go to some of these questions here, and I'll be passing the mic over to you in a short while anyway, if you want to continue on the subject. But,
No, I could go on forever, but you get the idea.
Anyway, I don't know if everyone saw the speech at CPAC over the weekend that Trump put out. Really, really great. I did upload it up onto our Rumble, and you can get on our website under today's issues. If you come down to Trump administration accomplishment, we have a couple of videos on the top of that. And first, the last video went up was the one I put up there, I think, last night. President Trump speaks at CPAC 2022. Very powerful.
It's a State of the Union address, John. That's just funny.
Yeah. Very, very powerful. Yeah, absolutely. Very powerful, very revealing. If you listen very carefully and close, he gives us a few little clues there, and it was a great thing to hear. So it appears that, Truth Media, Truth Social, that's what it's called. Truth Social is about to launch. I think it's already launched for the people who have apps on their phones. Are you aware of that, Gerard?
Yeah, if you have an iPhone, you can get on, but if you have an Android, you can't. But there's backdoor ways into it. I just heard today on, or Christian Patriot. He says that if you go on to the QAnon thing and you go into one of those channels, you can get on. So I was going to try that. I didn't get a chance to do it tonight, but I'll let you know because it might be a while, but it's going to be a good place to be because you're going to get, this is where they're going to dump, this is where you're going to, all this awakening is going to happen. It's going to happen right there. That's what it's designed to do.
And I think it's coming up very, very soon. I really do. I think.
It's already running. So, yeah, it's definitely coming.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking about these people coming to really do the assault upon us and bring down the Internet. You know, they will bring down the Internet most likely, but it'll only be for a short period of time. I understand the Internet is secured. I remember way back when, a couple of years back, when Trump did something where they were working on the Internet and getting access to everything, and I think they were just preparing for the day when they would shut it down and shut down communications, and then, you know, now... the White Hat.
Well, I talked to this engineer. He's a very, very highly placed engineer. He said you can get onto Starlink right now. It's $500 to get in and $100 a month. Well, it's costed me $100 a month for my cable system here. So that's already operating, and that they can't close down because it comes out of the satellite system.
All right, well, we'll talk about Starlink. I'm interested myself, but let's take some people in the queue. And, you know, we close early these days now.
Right,
you know, two
right.
hours go very quickly. I mean, 3 hours used to go reasonably quick, too, but 2 hours really go quick.
Yeah. But,
okay, anyway, we do have some people in the queue. I just want to make that note again about President Trump here, that if you haven't seen the CPAC speech, here it is on our website on today's issues, Trump administration accomplishments, and you'll get to it. Okay, again, anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and 1. We have a few people in the queue now. We'll take first caller is David from New York. You got the mic. Go right ahead, David.
Do you have a computer?
David?
Hello.
You're on the mic. Go ahead.
Hello, Gerard. This is Barry with Kevin Cohen, and we have another guest tonight.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are things going? I had a question for you as far as the – remember you said something about the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
How would I approach the school? Would I go to the principal and say, listen, I would like to open up
– I think what we'll do is I'll search this out. I do have it somewhere. I just have to look it up. But I can get it. There is a federal law requiring civics to be taught in school. And next week we'll talk about this particularly. I'll get that information, put it up on our page, and people will be able to look into it. But once you have that information, it is pretty simple. You could go down to the administration in the school and ask them, oh, what kind of civics are you teaching our children? And when they say nothing or whatever the case may be, then you make them aware. Did you know that there's a federal law? and then share the law with them and take that conversation. I think it might go well, you know, if you put the law in front of them, you know, they're kind of stuck. And if they refuse to respond to that, then, you know, then you can take them into the courts. But at least we can start preparing. And this is one of the very things that we're doing with, you know, the committees of safety. Every committee of safety, as they grow, they open up different subcommittees. And one of the subcommittees is a committee of education. And the individuals working on that committee is responsible for really, as time goes on, eventually making contact with every school within their county. So all of the schools within whatever towns and cities they are, to make contact with these schools, make sure that a civics course is being taught. The other thing is to make sure that they're teaching something that is appropriate, because most of the things they might teach really would be kind of watered down. But right now, even if it's a little watered down, anything's better than nothing. And that is something that we're going to be working on, trying to get some good curriculum into the schools and get it out there. If you listen to the CPAC speech that Trump has, he talks a little bit, well, he talked quite a bit, a little bit about this area concerning the parents having a say what the children is learning. You know, stop teaching our children socialism, you know.
Right.
So this is something, again, we need to get involved. And remember, there's power in numbers. You got a committee of safety going, I assure you, you get enough people involved and you open up that particular subcommittee for education and you start to get involved in your within your towns throughout your counties, I think you're going to have enough clout of enough people at that point in time to put the pressure on them and require them. But we will do something in the courtroom, in the courts, and maybe we'll do something in the federal courts to get a declaration at some point in time so we get something fresh from the United States Supreme Court requiring their obedience. Remember, the statutes are written for them, not for us. They have to obey those statutes. And if we refuse to obey those statutes, then there is a penalty to be paid for that. So we can force it.
John, there was a, I think the woman that put out Bonds for the Winds, and she was talking about that one woman she taught that went to the school board and pushed all this stuff. She had a hierarchy of how you're supposed to go after it. Because she said, look, at the school superintendent is the top guy that you want to go for, because he has the control. And she gave the hierarchy and who you give the notices to. This, you know, obviously the school board and the superintendent is what I got from it. But we should probably make a note. You might even have that video on
yeah, I'm looking for it now. I do. We have all, we have a lot of information.
Well,
it
she gives you all. She said, you go here first, here second. If they do this, you do that. It was, there was no thinking involved. I mean, she's got it all worked out, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Absolutely. I created a page called Surety Bonds, which is Bonds for the Wind. And we connected that site, our site, ultimately to theirs. The information provided here is at this website right here, www.bondsforthewin.com. We spoke about this last week. As a matter of fact, we played the first video, which was step one last week, and we're going to play the second one. I guess we'll do this next week. I'll play the second one, which is serving the letter of intent. So here is the process right here that you can use to require your school boards to be obedient to the law and press forward on all kinds of things. So there's a lot of things that you can find the violations that our schools are doing, and we can correct them. And we definitely look at it is not, it's against the law. It's a criminal offense to teach subversion, okay? And that's written in U.S. codes. So if these people are teaching subversion and obviously teaching another government, whatever they teach, communism, socialism, whatever, and destructiveness towards our founding documents, that's against the law for anyone to teach or create papers in order to create subversion against the United States. But there's a third video, which is filing the claim. So next week, I think we'll start off, we'll play this video. It's a short video. I think they're only about 10, 11 minutes long. I know the first one was pretty short also. But we will play that. But here it is. You can find this information right here under Start a Committee of Safety. And then you come down to Bonds for the Wind. It's right down here, Bonds for the Winds. And when you click that, you'll come to this page and get the information. Now, they also, they have, and again, we connected all this stuff out into their website, but we did an introduction here. But you can join a group. Every state seems to have a group. I was going through some of the states, and it seems that every state has a group of people that are active in this, so you can connect with them, get some information, get a lot of ideas and things that they have done, and start communicating on this. It's all the communicating on, what's it called, Telegram, I think it's called. So anybody that wants to communicate with these people and work things out with other people in your state, it's a definite good connection to make. Back to you, Dave. Good.
Is there any way to get together with other committee of safety people in the New York City area, John?
Well, again, you know, we have to get a committee of safety started there. If you go up to our directory here and you look for instance, you come to district leaders, you click on district leaders. There's a couple of ways to get this, I believe. But you come down. I think this is it. Oh, that's a county. Yeah. If you come down here, you'll see click on your state to find your county committees of safety. Now, remember, it's up to the people to step up and do things. And yes, the committees of safety also should be, we also talk about this in the handbook on creating the committees of safety, which, again, you find under here, start a committee of safety. And there's a handbook here that goes through detail exactly how to start and bring you all through the process step by step with creating and developing subcommittees. And one of the subcommittees of safety Committee of Correspondence. And the purpose of the Committee of Correspondence is to work with other counties where you have shared problems and shared situations. You can work with many counties within your states. And even on a federal level, we can work together, many, many counties across the nation together to deal with a federal problem through our committees of correspondence. So, again, you know, go through the handbook and your step-by-step is there. Now, as far as New York is concerned here, all you have to do is go up here and click on New York to see how many committees of safety have started and if they started some in your county yet or not. Now, we have 651 members in New York, and we have, of course, 62 counties, and we have 5 committees of safety in the process of moving forward. We have one in Albany, one in Broome, one in Dutchess, one in Niagara, and one in Wayne. And everybody should have their name up here somewhere underneath your state with your county and get a committee of safety going. You know, it starts off with one or two people. It starts off with one person deciding to do something and making a phone call or two. We'll give you the names of and phone numbers of all the people within your state that you can make contact with, particularly your counties first, of course, and the surrounding counties. But it all starts with one person making that decision to step forward and do something. Get their name up here, get their phone number up in here. The next thing is to meet with one or two people, maybe for coffee here or there, or you could talk on Skype or over the phone here or there as time goes on. Next thing you know, you got 3 or 4 people, and by the time you have a half a dozen people or more communicating and talking about this, maybe on a daily basis, maybe on a weekly basis, again, you don't have to travel or anything. You could do this over the computer or the phone. But at some point in time, when you feel you have enough people, you say, well, okay, we've got 6 or 7 or 8 people. Let's plan an event. Let's do an introduction to the committees of safety. Let's get the word out to the liberty groups within our counties and anybody. Let's get the word out and do an event. And anybody that has done that, if you want to come up onto the mic and share that information, we'd appreciate that. Because that's the purpose of our call, is to share this information and some of the things that people have worked out. But we do lay everything out. So here again is the place where you can discover people that might be in that process. The other thing, in, of course, is the handbooks. We have handbooks, and each one of these handbooks gives the information on starting a committee of safety. We have also a committee man handbook, which is the political process of the whole structure, the Committee of Safety, because that's who the Committee of Safety is. The Committee of Safety is the committee man, okay? That's who the Committee of Safety is. Our founding fathers were all part of the Committees of Safety. It was the Committee of Safety that came together to deal with the problems. And it was early on, problems with Indians and so on and so forth. They had been doing it for quite some time. But when the king refused to govern correctly in the colonies and there needed to be some legislation done and it wasn't done, well, the people themselves took up that job and they started, they created legislators and started to legislate laws. And this is while they were still under the king's rule. They were still under Britain rule as they were trying to communicate to get representation in Britain. But it was the Committee of Safety that called forth the Continental Congress. It was the Committee of Safety who called forth the Second Continental Congress, which declared that we got to declare our independence. It was the Committee of Safety that ordered to go forward with the Declaration of Independence. It was the Committee of Safety that ruled us as a people, that worked together within the colonies as we fought the war and to create the statehoods within the colonies. So it was the Committees of Safety that got together. You know, people from all of the Committees of Safety were sent in to discuss and debate the potential Constitution and the creation of this nation. It was the Committee of Safety that set this whole thing forward. And it was the Committee of Safety that continued along the process even after the Constitution was put in place in order to maintain political control, to have government by consent, to keep that string, to chain these people down with the chains of the Constitution. It was the Committee of Safety that our Founding Fathers used. It was the Committee of Safety that put people onto the ballot to bring the so that people would vote for them, whatever the government servant was running for, whatever election district and whatever they were running for. That's why we, the people, need to do a Committee of Safety. And if we refuse to get active on this and we don't start growing these things and start taking control, because we've already lost control, let's take it back. And I will tell you that once things are put back into order, if we, the people, don't step up and fill that power vacuum, which the Committee of Safety should be doing, they're just going to continue. We'll continue with party bosses. We'll continue with courts of injustice instead of courts of justice. And we will never control our government. So we have to do it. Back to you, David.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for that, John. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, Gerard, you want to take the controls? We've got a few people in the queue here.
It's a remote speaker. It's a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah, it's a Bluetooth speaker.
Gerard, you
here? I had to unmute myself. I had trouble getting to the button here. Hang on a minute.
Okay, John is next there.
John from Michigan, I guess that is,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yep.
Okay, John, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
All right, thank you. For both of you guys, the bond issue and in the oath of office issue, does that in fact also apply to the judges, especially to the judges? What I'm thinking basically is
it applies to every appointed and elected individual, because whoever takes the vow, the oath.
Okay, well, we put in a writ of habeas corpus about a year and a half ago for Matt Hale.
Mm-hmm. You know, through us?
And
did you do that through us here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
And so it's part of that bigger court case anyway. But, you know, so far, only thing that's happened is it's been ignored. All those things have been ignored. Is that?
Well, that's a good idea. If you want to step up and do that, you know, take that all the paperwork that we did for the habeas corpus. Put it together and file a complaint against the individual. Follow this process. You see, the first part of the process is making contact and trying to work it out before you start to move towards the legal realms, you know. So you make the contact, you give them the opportunity to make the correction, you send the letter. Step by step right here. Let me get back to that page here, Bonds for the Wind here. It's a step-by-step. There's three videos here, 1, 2, 3. Watch all three videos and then start the process and go over to their website. The website is on the top and it should be on the bottom of this page, where you can go over to their website and get more, like right here. Here's some examples of letter for intent. It'll take you right on to bondsforthewind.com. Here's a bond request letter. So it starts off, I believe, with a letter of intent. And then you move towards the request for the bond request letter, and then after that you file the claim, and yes, you can then take it into the court. But you're filing the claim, you may never have to go into the court, because the people who are insuring these people, they're the ones that's going to put the pressure down on these people, because their bond is being pulled. And that causes a problem for them, and they may even lose their job over that if they can't secure another bond, because a bond is required by law for everyone that takes the oath. Okay, so good idea on that. We will continue. We have went through an indictment processes on all these judges that have refused to hear a habeas corpus. How dare these people just refuse to hear a habeas corpus? But we did do indictments on them. We have a lot of paperwork we have to catch up on, and we'll be working on that now. And once we get all that paperwork up there and ready, as soon as we get on the other side, now we're going to file for moving this judgment forward, that people be compensated for the loss of their homes, for the loss of their liberty, that people be compensated for any damage that was done to them, and that these people, these judges, are held responsible. Look, if their habeas corpus particularly a habeas corpus, and these judges just refuse to hear that habeas corpus, or someone sits in jail, well, I think that judge should sit in jail three times the amount of time that person had to sit in jail because they failed to consider a habeas corpus. I mean, that's my opinion, but that's what I would suggest to the jury if I was the prosecutor on that. That's what I would suggest to the jury, you know. Let's sit him in jail and see how he feels about that.
Well, Matt's been there for 18 years. That's pretty hard. So,
that's life for the judge, you know. Actually, the habeas corpus, they can only start the amount of time from the habeas corpus was first presented. And if that was a year ago, then it's 3 years for the judge. But that's my suggestion, you know. And it sounds logical to me, but...
Yeah. Listen, when you go...
Go ahead.
When you go in against a federal judge like that, I would suggest that you go in with more than one person. Because they ignore our indictments and all that because there's no teeth as far as they're concerned.
But he can do the bond process. That's not even a judicial thing. So.
What? That's not what?
That doesn't take you into the courts. You don't. You can make a claim.
Yeah, but it has teeth, John. The point I'm making is they will retaliate if they can.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a single person going in, it's easier for them to retaliate. Make no mistake about it. You go in and start pulling their bonds, they're going to panic.
More reason for the committees of safety.
Right. So I'm just suggesting that you don't do it alone. You know, even if we go after them, well, at least we're 8,000 people and we're all over the United States.
10,000.
10,000, excuse me. But not only that, more than, you know, you can throw a whole bunch of these at them. Every person and every individual can make a claim on their bond because they've injured all of us, right? Mm-hmm. So if 20 people send in and he doesn't answer and he doesn't give his oath and his bond, that's another incident, is it right? So mm-hmm. I would overwhelm them that way. I would not go in alone, is all I'm telling you. That's all.
When you're going after a judge.
Right. A federal judge especially.
Particularly a federal judge. And then that's who you got to go after because that's who we send the paperwork with. We sent it to the federal district because the federal district's responsibility is to champion the Constitution. That's that judge's job.
You know,
he's to rule in equity and champion the Constitution. And give summary judgments when it is clear the situation. Other than that, then the people got to rule in a court of law. But go ahead, Rob.
They know who we are, I'm sure, these judges, because we've made some noise. We've rattled their cages already. The thing that's different today is there's many groups rattling their cages.
You know what? Maybe if we can get a committee working together, people who might want to volunteer for this idea here, you know, by all means volunteer. If we can't get volunteers, we can't do it. But maybe what we should do is take on all of the court cases that we have put into the court, which is a couple hundred court cases, get the individuals that, you know, whose cases they were to work with us on this also, and get a small group of people, or a large group hopefully, and let's do paperwork from each one of us as individuals into the judges. That is something we could do because we've got a large membership, and the more people we can get tied into this thing, the more fear we can put into these judges on the one hand. And you know, Trump spoke about these prosecutors who refuse to prosecute but are willing to prosecute people who haven't even broken the law. And he spoke about that, as a matter of fact, at this last speech that he gave over the weekend in CPAC. People should definitely go listen to that. But he's already made that point. He, you know, this is already something in his mind and in the mind of others in order to take this nation back and in order for people to have that control. I want to say this for the umpteenth time. You cannot have government by consent. You may not have government by consent. You cannot secure your liberty unless you become part of the solution by getting together with committees of safety. If we have a duty to come together and take control of our political system, we have a duty to come together and take control of our judicial system. And so people need to do that. And if we fail to do that, we don't even deserve the liberty we have. And I guarantee you, it'll rot away as fast as it eroded away before. In no time, our children, again, will be in the same dilemma that we've got.
Here's a question I have. That particular writ of habeas corpus was incorporated in with all those other cases. I guess that's my question. I mean, is all those different cases that we've had over the last 10, 15 years, all the 200 of them, whatever they are those all against separate judges? Is that all one case?
Paperwork that we had filed against the federal judiciary as a whole and the United States Supreme Court. And that still remains unanswered. And we didn't expect them to answer that. They have a duty to answer that, and they didn't. So it's just another nail in their coffin. But, yeah, people who have come with the...
Who is the they right now? I guess that's... Because we're after...
Well, right now, the federal judges is what I'm talking about. But we deal with all the judges. It's not just the federal judges we're going out after. We're also going out after the judges who have allowed these non-judicial foreclosures to go by through their court system, even though they don't sign it, they don't seal it, they don't stamp approval on it. But they use their courtrooms, and their names will linger around here or there as judges, and then they make it look real legal, but nobody signs any papers, and then they come and take your home away for a non-judicial foreclosure. So they make it look, it's a facade to make it look, just like the IRS. The IRS actually rents the federal room out in the federal courthouse in order, and they also pays a stipend, rents out a judge and pays a stipend for a guilty conviction in the IRS cases in the federal courthouse. That's how it works. And it's just, it's an insult. It's disgusting. And the people don't even know it. And now that you do know it, we got to do something about it. And that's some of the things we need to change. We have to stop this craziness. So, but it's up to the people to do something, and that's what we need to do.
They're a corporation that's not even on American soil.
The laws are civil laws. It's not common law. It's
but they're not even here. They're not. They're in territories and in foreign places. They're not in America.
Well, they think that they're safe by claiming to be in a territory, but nevertheless, the United States has a reach in the territory as well as
I understand, but it shows they don't have the authority.
What authority?
They're a foreign entity.
They don't have any authority at all. Of course
they have no authority, right? And they're not even in the United States. It's like a foreign attack on us.
Yeah, when you say that they're on the federal land and not in the United States, I think that's your point. But yeah, that's the claim.
Well, they're in Puerto Rico. Where's their offices? They're not on the mainland anywhere.
Well, Puerto Rico and the Philippines, I think, is the other place where the IRS was incorporated, one with a little IRS and the other one with a capital IRS. But they both, you know, they shift that around in the court. You see the little IRS and all of a sudden you see the big IRS, you know. They shift it around to try to protect themselves. It's like the...
So they're really not an American corporation then, are they?
Well, of course not. No. But that's the IRS, okay? Now, as far as the judges are concerned, they're on U.S. territory, and if they think they're outside the reach of the law, well, I think they're going to find another thing coming to them. So they're still going to be held accountable. But we do have hundreds of cases that we have assisted people with people who have non-judicial foreclosures, people who, whether it's a tax foreclosure or a mortgage foreclosure, people who have had habeas corpuses, and a few other different kinds of cases that we did handle, and every one of them, particularly where things were taken away from people, of course, because they failed to respond when they had a duty to speak, because they were approached, they have a duty to speak, and because they didn't speak, that's fraud, and because they committed fraud, that's crime, and therefore we have done indictments on all these judges who refuse to obey the law or refuses to look at the law. And ignorance is, you know, like they claim, ignorance is no excuse. Well, ignorance is no excuse.
And at the same time that all this is going on, you got David Martin having people send in sworn affidavits to the state prosecutors with the evidence of the big pharma, what they did to the people, how they frauded and murdered and everything. So they have a duty to prosecute also. So this is all coming to a head at the same time.
Absolutely. Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so. I'm just curious of we always hear they, you know, they did this, they did that, and they should give us an oath of office. We got to get the bond for them, and all these pronouns and stuff like that. I'm just curious of, you know, I mean, where do you find a bond for they or them? I guess that's
the whole point of this page here that we're looking at. They will teach you where to find the bonds and so on, and how to approach them, how to write the letters. They start with obtaining the bond. Okay, you have to find out where the bond is. This video we did play last week. And like I said, it's only about 12 minutes long.
Well,
step two, I forgot. We should have played step two.
I understand that about it. I'm just saying, but I mean, normally we're speaking about one particular judge or a superintendent.
Right. That's for each individual case, you'd be speaking about one or two judges, correct? Because, you see, sometimes the case is in the state, okay? And when you're going after a habeas corpus particularly, you go into the federal court for that habeas corpus. Ultimately, it's the federal court's job, in my opinion, that they must be dealing with the habeas corpuses, because they are there for one purpose only one purpose, and that is to champion the Constitution. You know, they're not there to make decisions on everyday things. For instance, things that belong in God's court and not their court. Let's take abortion, for instance. Those are issues. These are issues of the people, issues of the law, issues of evil or goodness, right and wrong, okay? No federal judge has the power or the authority. The United States Supreme Court does not have the power or the authority to legalize abortion. They have no authority to even hear that case. The only authority they have is to champion the Constitution for that unborn child that they're out ready to murder. That's the only thing that they can do. They can do nothing else. And it's up to the people to go forward and push this forward. And we will do that, but again, you know, in the court's environment today, we're only wasting our time. So we're just preparing things, sending this and sending that. Another nail in the coffin, because the day comes when they have to answer. They're going to have to answer no matter what they do, no matter what they say. Once they lose control, they must answer. And they will pay for what they have been doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm taking too much time up, but thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the next person, Tiana from Washington. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to share my experience that I took the step of starting the Committee of Safety.
Cool.
It's really slow going. There's not a lot of people yet, which, I mean, it's understandable. But I've got Kenny, infamous Kenny, in our corner here.
Okay. Good.
We've had a couple meetings, but I'm personally dealing with some things, like trying to get myself more stable in my life to be able to take on this task, and because I really do want to make a difference, and I definitely stand behind everything that you guys are doing and what's your purpose and everything. So but I don't really have a lot of experience in that realm, you know, as I'm the chairperson at this moment, which I have no idea what that means to be.
That's okay.
So,
we're all learning, so it doesn't matter.
I know.
Nobody has a degree to find an individual
to do that rather than me. But I mean, at this time, that's me. I had a seal made, and it's I'm waiting for it to get here. Arrive.
So you're following through the book. You're going through the information in the book, the layout, what to do, step by step.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Because that's the key. You know, we did do a point by point, and if we missed anything, and anybody thinks something should be added into that, they should let us know, and we'll try to make things a little more clearer. But we do have that book up there for the sole purpose of creating committees of safety. And you're doing exactly the right thing. Tina is your name, right? Is that it, or Tiana?
Tiana.
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing the right thing, Tiana, even though you don't want to hold the chair seat or anything. You're just in there trying to get things going. Once you start to get people coming in, you'll get people interested in taking those positions and then just pass it over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's only just a matter of getting things going. And really, you don't even have to call yourself the chairperson if you don't want to at this point, because you haven't really had a really first introduction meeting with a large group of people yet, correct?
Yeah, correct. No.
Okay. So at that point, once you get that introduction out and you got 15, 20 people involved and growing, that's when you'll find people want to take in certain positions. But everybody, every single person has to participate or should be participating in one of the subcommittees. It could be the militia committee, the committee of education, the committee of correspondence, and there's a lot of other committees that people need to, and there'll be committees that we haven't even thought about, because you'll see a problem or a situation. Let's get a committee on here. Like the committee to deal with Agenda 21, and that'll be a national movement, you know, something like that.
Well, I hope to be part of the education committee, so to get the civics and stuff back into the schools and
schools back under a real education. Amen.
Yeah, yep, that's going to be one of, and our sheriff, our King County sheriff, has recently been rather than elected, they changed it to appointed.
Which, in the last couple months. Where is this at?
In King County, Washington.
Well, if you can get me information on that, because we're working on a sheriff problem. We're starting off in Connecticut, where they've unlawfully removed all the sheriffs and have a people in appointment, which means the people have nowhere to go. There's no law enforcer, because the individuals that are being appointed are going to serve the person who appointed them ultimately.
Yeah.
And
that's what we have to do.
Well, so we have to go after the individuals. We're putting things together. It's going to take, hopefully we'll get to it in a couple of weeks, get the paperwork really started on this. But right now we're putting information together. We're going to be pushing on Connecticut. There's 7 counties in New York. We need to get some information on how that happened. But if you have information on how it happened in that county out there, you said Washington?
Yep, Washington State, King County, Washington.
Okay, so out there in Washington, just one county? How did they do that? This was not a state thing; it was a county thing. They don't even have the power of legislation.
I can't even answer that accurately, so I don't know for sure. But yeah, it's county by county, because we have Snohomish County Sheriffs, King County Sheriffs, Pierce County Sheriffs, and each county has a sheriff.
Okay. But the thing is look, there's really no power of county legislation. There really is no power there. Only Congress can make law, okay? And that includes the Congress of the state, of course. But the county,
somebody said that people voted for it.
You can't vote right away. That's the key thing. So you need to understand, they cannot vote a right away. They cannot vote a constitutional requirement away. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts in your state, although you're in Washington, maybe not, but I'll bet you dollars of donuts anyway that if you go into the Washington State Constitution, you'll see the election of the sheriff there. So the question, if you do find that particularly, that's really a question for them. How did you go about doing this when the state constitution requires that? You see?
I will definitely research on that.
Listen, send me your information. Send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And if you're interested in gathering information for us on this, I'll connect you with some people that are doing some research in other areas, and then you can just send the information to them and whatever you got, because I want to do New York, I want to do Connecticut, and we'll do that one county out there. That's very strange, one county, I can't believe it.
John,
I'd like to know where they got.
I mean, I'll have to check into it. I'll check into it and see if they've done it in other counties, but as far as I know, I've only heard that it was done in King County.
It was done in King County only, and King County is Seattle, Washington. Does that explain to you why?
Wow, you can help get the information on that maybe, too. We need info on that so we can deal with that problem, Okay. You know, there are two other states. One has lost their sheriffs, I think, is Hawaii. And Alaska never had sheriffs. So those are two other states we need to deal with. But
yeah,
definitely,
Seattle's in a real poor state of condition right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, we saw what they've done out there.
Yeah.
All right, well, anyway, send me your contact information, and someone eventually will contact you for any information that you might have or can get for us.
Okay.
And we'll take it from there.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay.
A few minutes left here. We're going to bring Cody up and wait patiently. Go ahead, Cody.
Thank you. Good afternoon or good evening. I was listening to Mike Rivero's show, and I didn't catch the guy's name, but they said one of these January 6th guys killed himself supposedly in jail. And I just read that. He didn't do anything. All he did is walk in and take pictures, didn't break into anything. You know, this is getting to the point, guys, where it's just time for the militias to take some action against this federal judiciary. We can't let
the military be moving soon.
Yeah, but we just can't wait. I think these truckers need to go surround all these military bases and demand that the commanders take action and arrest these bastards, because, you know.
Yeah, but bear in mind, this whole thing is being brought to a head. The people must see, and the people are seeing, you know. I'm hearing people, for instance, in these social medias, not directly but indirectly, because I don't go out to the social medias, but I'm hearing indirectly, no one's even talking about the virus anymore. It's all Russia. So what happened to the virus? What happened to the poke? What's going on here, you know?
Yeah. That was the wag the dog. That's the whole reason behind this.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't forget, I want to just give you an insight to what's going on here, because this is a big TV show they're playing for us. They had to have a war in Ukraine because Ukraine was where they operated. Don't forget, that's where Obama and Clinton, you had Uranium One, all the biolabs over there. So unless they started a war, they couldn't cover up their crimes.
Well,
plus,
if they're not careful, they're going to start a nuclear war. And
that's
not
going to
happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's scare tactics by them.
It's all a play right now.
Here's the intel I got, and I'm going to, because it'll help you get things in perspective. Okay, this plan has been going on for years. They've have known this New World Order is in it since they killed Kennedy, and well, actually before them, but you
right,
know,
Kennedy
past,
tried to warn, yeah.
Right, but for the past 15 years, they've really been the military intelligence, and look at Trump's been working with them a long, long time before he ever decided to run for president. So they got a plan in place. And when Trump was president, he went and he made pacts with the leaders of all these nations. In Saudi Arabia, they handed him the sword during the sword dance. Most people in this culture don't understand. That means that they accept him as the leader. So he made deals with lots of people, with North Korea, the rocket man over there, and but more specifically with Z and with Putin. So I don't know who's running Biden. I don't think he's running anything. I think he's got a team there. Well, they knew they've been trying to start war with the Ukraine, and Putin has been very, very patient. They shot one of his planes out of the air. He didn't retaliate, you know what I mean? He's been holding back. But what happened is they went to China and they said, listen, we need you to help us with Russia. They wanted to attack Taiwan because they need to gain control of the news cycle right now, because this whole vaccination thing, and it's not a vaccination, it's a bioweapon, I dare say, is coming out.
Well, even more reason to take action. You know, everybody.
Yeah, well, we are at war right now. World War III is happening right around us. It's not.
We are casualties of war.
That's right. So they went to Z, and Z turned around and went to Putin and gave Putin all the intel that America gave to Z and said, look, this is what we want to do. And they told Putin. Putin quick jumped the gun and attacked them before they were ready for him. They didn't think he was going to attack, but because Z gave him that information, he attacked. And what he's doing is he's taking out the CIA New World Order Nazis that are over there. Make no mistake about it, there's Nazis still running this whole eugenics thing, this whole...
Well, people are... are forgetting that, you know, everybody's looking at Ukraine like they're you know, holier than thou. Well, hell, they were killing a bunch of Russians in there in Donbass.
Well, and half of the country is.
And that wasn't even them. Yeah, the problem is with the CIA being in there, the New World
Order.
That's right. Being in there. Of course, there's people from all kinds of different.
You're talking.
So they're showing them killing people and all this. Guess what? The news cycle. I saw so many articles where people said, "Hey, those are not news scenes. Those are scenes out of a 2017 movie." Got another one where they're choreographing all the people running around the corner. Oh, the Russian army's shooting at them, and they go, "Oh, stop, go back." And they're making movies.
Just like the people chasing that plane.
And they're calling it news. And somebody said, "Look at it." In the news cycle, when they put these pictures out of this blown up or that, they said, "Take it and search it on Google pictures."
Look at
it's a scam.
Look at how powerful the propaganda is. You know, my wife is thinking, "Oh, that president is so good because he's putting on military gear and he said he's going to fight to the end." Well, Michael Rivero said today on his program, he said, reminded everybody that was the president that threw his political opposition in prison, and additionally, what else did he do? Oh,
I got news for you.
TV stations and all. So, oh yeah, such a good president of Ukraine. You know, when you're
those pictures of him with the military gear on were from 2015. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Those were other pictures that were staged back then. So it's all lies.
Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood. It's a show. like you said, it's a show.
Here, I'll leave you guys with this. Lastly, this whole federal, judiciary, the biggest fallacy I see in it is that they're able to prosecute everything in D.C. if it happens in D.C. They should have to go back to, you know, where the people are from, so they get an actual, overview of the people, what they really think in the rest of the country. Because you go to D.C., it's 50-some% minority. You're not going to get a fair shake in a federal court.
Well, it doesn't matter where you're at. You're not going to get a fair shake in a federal court anywhere in the United States.
Well, probably not.
That I can tell you.
Not when you're a white guy and facing a mostly, I'm assuming, majority. You know,
well, anybody going up against the status quo, anybody that they want to come out after criminally, you're not going to get a fair shake. It's a problem. But again, the day is coming. It's very close. And, well, you know, again, I had to go back to Trump's speech. If you haven't heard it, you need to go hear it. But even there, he spoke about this kind of a problem, the situation, particularly with prosecutors who refuse to prosecute the right cases and yet prosecute people who shouldn't be prosecuted.
I can't have respect for a guy that didn't pardon any of the January 6th people. You know, he pardoned a bunch of corrupted people and then also a bunch of rappers, but yet he doesn't try to pardon anybody from January 6th, and now this guy killed himself. So how can I have respect?
Well, if you're talking about Trump, they were not yet arrested at that point in time. Didn't they come out them at a later Well, no, they came out at another time. Besides that, he was no longer president at that point. You know, the 6th
didn't
leave
him. Couldn't do a blanket pardon on anybody that was involved. You know, they're going to try to throw it out.
Well, again, there has to be charges in a court. And I don't think that existed yet. That took a while before they got into that whole process.
Does it say there has to be charges? Or?
Well, that's how things work. And if there's no charges...
You can't pardon for somebody who hasn't been charged yet.
Are you sure? I mean, I'm sure they pardon people for different military actions and say, hey, if there's ever charges for... You know, whatever.
No, I've never heard of that.
Pre-pardon them? Pre-pardon? Is that like pre-crime?
Well, it's kind of like when somebody's an informant or whatever, and they make sure that they won't be prosecuted.
That's called immunity.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. That would be immunity. It wouldn't be a pardon.
It's not a pardon. A pardon is a pardon. It has to be something to be pardoned.
Whatever. He still could have done more. He should have brought the Marines and cleaned house and arrested.
Well, half the country wouldn't believe it. Then half the country wouldn't see it. This all has to. People must see.
We don't want civil war. We want what we're fighting is a revolutionary war. A civil war is just going to turn people against each other, and it's going to target the wrong people.
Again, going back to Trump, though, he talked about Durham also and released the fact of the matter that Durham has now released some information concerning the election, and we're going to get to the bottom of this, Trump says.
That is starting to come out. He could have signed the Insurrection Act to do what you're talking about, But
yeah,
he didn't
do it.
He
could have done something with. I mean,
yeah, but it would have created problems that would be not controlled. I mean,
he'd also tilt his hand too.
And the people wouldn't be woken up. I'd like to read something about this guy that killed himself because it's heartbreaking and it's
weird. Well, maybe he was being tortured. I mean, we've heard other stories.
Oh, he's definitely being tortured.
So how come we shouldn't tolerate that as Christians? That if that's happening, we should raid these jails. And that should not be tolerated.
Yeah, but you know you really can't do that. This is what, look at,
well,
you got to wake the people up. But you have to have the people together to declare war. Trust me, I'm telling you, well, you don't have to trust me, but go find out for yourself.
Well,
look at, the military is going to take care of this. Let's let them handle it because we don't get involved at this point.
They would have already done it. Why
look at, part of the problem is you're dealing with Washington, D.C., which is basically, you're like on a foreign soil over there. That's the problem. If they were under the Constitution and our laws, I mean, they're supposed to be, but this is how they take refuge. They got to give you a hearing within so many days. They got to, you know, pretrial hearing, all this. You're guaranteed under the Constitution certain things. We would be able to go in there and file for these people these papers about, you know, a timely prosecution. I just want to read this because I want you to see what they did to this guy, and they're not working under our Constitution or our rules. It's like being in a foreign country and getting put in jail.
They haven't been for a very long time.
You go to the Philippines and get put in jail and see how they treat you and see what your chances are. It'll take you out to the public.
They got a lot less of their population per capita in jail. You know, the United States is, what, number one or two? Number one, I think, the number of people.
Yeah, it has been for a long time.
You can look at that two ways, right? You can look at that as we're efficient with fining criminals, but you could also say we're overzealous in our...
Absolutely, especially for federal crimes, because there shouldn't be that many federal crimes. But his family said he was bullied to death by the Department of Justice despite him not committing a violent crime. And American Greatness senior writer Jill Kelly tweeted Sunday morning that she had heard reports that the January 6th defendant had committed suicide. It confirmed this defendant committed no violent crime and walked through an open door with Capitol Police present, Kelly wrote. Biden's DOJ has tried to destroy so many lives over the past year, and now they have another victim. Kelly called the January 6th prosecutor sadistic, and at least one other January defendant has committed suicide. Later in the day, Kelly was tweeted that the story was true. I cannot express the rage I feel after speaking with his family. More on this tomorrow. According to his obituary on Flynn's funeral home website, Perna died on February 25th of a broken heart. The justice system killed his spirit and his zest for life. The obituary explains that Perna attended the January 6th rally and entered the Capitol through an open door where police ushered him in. He stayed within the velvet ropes in the Capitol building and took pictures there without hurting anyone or breaking anything. According to the obituary, he reportedly turned himself in as soon as he knew the FBI was looking for him. The constant delays in hearings and postponements dragged out for over a year, which is illegal. The obituary states, because of this, Matt's heart broke and his spirit died, and many people are responsible for the pain he endured. So his death is going to call this issue into light. I mean, this is a great obituary.
Americans don't care about each other. This is the reality.
Well, I don't know about that. Know. There's a lot of people
that
are pissed off.
You know, when we're talking, but I mean, I've done a bunch of business now in this last couple of years, and I'm calling on retail establishments, and I see how horrible, you know, white business people are compared to my wife's Latin customers are to deal with. You know, this is the problem with the United States, I think. I'm a white guy.
Well, you have to. It's because we've lost our Christian underpinnings. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, Perna was described as a Christian who read his Bible daily and did not have a hateful bone in his body. Perna was arrested in Sharpsville, Pennsylvania on January 19th and indicted more than a month later, so they held him for a month. He pleaded guilty in December to January 6th related charges, including obstructing an official proceeding, disorderly and disruptive conduct, and entering and remaining in a restricted area, according to the Department of Justice. In the DOJ's statement of facts, Perna claimed to be only on the inside of the Capitol for 5 to 10 minutes after being pushed into the building by a crowd that was not his intention to enter the Capitol. His sentencing was scheduled for March 3rd. Perna faced up to 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine, as well as other penalties for misdemeanor their meters.
So he didn't go to jury trial? He just was, he pled guilty or what?
Well, you know, they held him. It took them a month to charge him, and even they held him a year. So I don't know what they did.
Did he have a trial? They say they're going for sentencing. So
no, he took the plea. He took the plea. That's what they do to you. So once you take the plea, it's like saying you agree that you're guilty, right? He took the plea because he wanted to get the hell out of their jail.
And that's also extortion, you know? Yep. You're facing 20 years, buddy. Look, take the deal. You'll do 5. We'll get you out of here, maybe
behavior. Sometimes by taking your money before you're guilty, locking your bank account so you can't defend yourself. I mean, this government is criminal. I'm tired of it. And, you know,
we're all tired of it, but,
they say that the...
Look, there's a plan in effect. There's a plan in effect. Let's not try to create another one. If the military,
don't make me say I told you so, because I
if
will.
The military, you got to give the military a chance to do what's got to be done.
Yeah,
the plan is in place.
Suicide. You know how many kids have committed suicide after all this COVID BS? It's huge.
That's a whole nother niche. Look, there's a lot of stuff that has
it's
to be
part of all this corruption, though.
That's
Cody,
right.
What are you suggesting, Cody? What are you suggesting?
Well, there's a 30-mile-long convoy of people, and if they all had guns, maybe
they... Yeah, but they're not going to do that. So what are you suggesting? They're not going to do that. And the militia isn't even organized well enough to deal with it.
Listen, that's what they want, because if they all had guns, they'd be able to call out the UN. They'd get foreign troops in here because they would say, oh, America's out of control. I'm telling you, you do not want to do what you're talking about.
Here's the nonviolent solution. We get all the states to ratify a constitutional amendment to close Congress and bring all federal lawmaking to the state legislature.
We're working on something similar to that called the Republic Review. You should join together with the people in the Republic Review who's working with National Liberty Alliance to do something very similar to what you're talking about.
I hadn't heard about that, but I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, because then you at least have, even though this Constitution, you know, was probably a coup against the Articles of Confederation.
Read about it under Start a Committee of Safety. Come down to Republic Review, click on that link. Okay, why don't you look into that, and maybe we could discuss it some more next week if you want. And
apparently our governors have all been taken. I mean, how come no governor has had the cojones to stand up and really assert 9th, 10th Amendment law? You know,
because they'll kill them.
And 90, like he said, 90-something percent of them have been compromised.
Look at the boldness of killing Kennedy. And then Robert Kennedy, okay? Just look at the boldness of that.
So you got to play by their rules then. This is the point.
What was that? What's that SEAL guy, that Navy SEAL guy who was also a wrestler or something and he became governor?
Jesse Ventura, yeah.
Jesse Ventura. He did a sit-down and talked about this problem once. I'm sure you could probably find it on the Internet somewhere.
Yeah, I listened to part of it about the CIA.
He talked about the fact that when he became governor, one of the first things happened. He was called to Washington. I think he said he had to go to Washington.
Well, he was in the basement of the Capitol, he said.
Right, yeah. Right.
And he sat in a room, and all these people laid the law down to him, and then they attached an individual to keep an eye on him. So this is where we're at. Look, we've lost our republic a long time ago. We became a democracy a long time ago. And in that process of a democracy, that is the first step to oligarchy. Most of the federal government, as far as the legislators are concerned, they've been corrupt since the late 1800s. They've seized control over that a long time ago. They seized control over our news, our media. They've seized control also now over our judicial system, where they put a gun to the head of these judges, requiring them to maintain the status quo. And Kennedy was the last drawer on the administration. So, yeah, since at least 1960s, they have total control of our government.
And who is the CIA, and how are they funded by...
Well, the New World Order, the elitist. If you want to give some names, there's the Rothschilds, there's... Rockefellers, there's the Warburgs. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. You get a whole list of names of these people.
These big corporation CEOs are all part of it too.
And they've got almost 500,000 minions of the New World Order flooding our courts with all kinds of crap and destroying legislation and bringing in law. They're called bar attorneys. Okay, they've destroyed everything that has any justice in it at all. All the justice have been stripped clean of any justice. It doesn't exist there no more. And they have no clue that they participated in it, most of these people. They think we're under Roman law, under civil law, and that's how dumb they are. They think we're a democracy. That's how dumb they are. Okay.
Yeah, well,
I just saw something recently on TV, a documentary talking about our founding fathers. They weren't really Christian.
Listen, when this thing breaks out, you're going to see these governors swinging from a rope. I guarantee it. You watch what happens.
Who's going to do that? Because
we the people. We're going to do it. We're going to do it from our counties.
Military.
Yeah, it's going to be military tribunals, no doubt about it. Because we are in war. Look, we were attacked. The election was an attack, and we are in war right now.
And Trump declared that when China went, he declared
war. The military does not put up when you get a military tribunal, you don't get all the bull crap. You know, you don't get all the rights that you get under our Constitution, because it's streamlined. It's like, and you get a military jury, and you get a military JAG attorney, and that's what you get.
And hey, Gerard, we got one more person in the queue.
Yeah, I want to get Jim. He's been waiting. I'm sorry. Anyway, we'll continue it next week. Look into that Republic Review. See what you think about it. I want to know what you think about it.
Well, I mean, it's just hard to get those things done without big lobbying or, you know, governors that really...
No, well, read the plan and then tell me what you think.
Yeah, look, this is the people moving this Republic Review.
Right.
This is not elected individuals that's going to sit in this Republic Review. It cannot be.
Right.
Okay? So, but anyway, it's under Starter Committee of Safety. And you come down to Republic Review. It's right here if you're looking at the board. I got it right on the screen, Republic Review. Watch the videos, read up a little bit about it, and we can discuss it more.
Yeah, it's like homework. Come back and tell us what you think, okay? Max, Jim.
What's the last call of them?
Jim from PA. Go ahead.
Okay, Jim from PA.
How you doing, Jim?
How you doing, John? The New American article... And the JBS New American has an excellent article on the prisoners of Washington, D.C. And it's called In the Bowels of the D.C. Gulag.
Right.
So I don't know if it explains everything that you guys just talked about, I mean, in detail. So I just want to bring that to your attention since you were talking about it. But I had a couple other comments. Did you get an email from me about the sheriff, the Carpinelli from New Paltry?
Yeah,
I heard about that, I think, through Gerard originally.
Yeah.
But I did see your letter came in after. Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Well,
I
graduated out of New Paltry High School, so I'm very familiar with the area. So,
Do you know where this location is of this camp, Gerard? Do you know the location?
I
it sounded
you,
like it was right in New Paltry.
I tell you, but I had to kill you. No,
I
don't know. I don't know where it is, but I got a nephew down there. He said, me and my buddy are going to go check it out. He was supposed to get back to me, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
But that sheriff sounds like a good sheriff to send him a book.
Yeah, well, he should have got one. We sent him
got
to
one.
Sherry
Carpinelli.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got one.
Hey, listen, tomorrow night, will you be on the conference? Will there be a conference call?
Not unless there's an appointment. I know there's a group of people that want to have a conference call, and it may be next week, next Tuesday. But unless someone has some kind of a thing that they want to discuss, we don't run the Tuesday night. But I'm open for it if we make an appointment.
Yeah, I didn't have anything in particular, but I was on last week, and there was nobody on.
Right. Well, okay. I think what I'm going to do now is we're going to be setting an appointment up, I think maybe for next Tuesday or sometime in the near future, this group wants to talk. So whenever somebody wants to talk about something specific like this and is going to take some time, we do it on a Tuesday night at 7 p.m. or 7:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll go for an hour and two if necessary. And I will send out an email if we're going to have some kind of a meeting on a Tuesday. I'll let people know and maybe give an idea of what the subject matter might be or something. But I'll send something out to all members.
Yeah, John, our Allegheny County, Pennsylvania Committee of Safety is meeting tomorrow evening.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to, something comes up, I just wonder if you were going to be on the call. That's all.
Oh, with the just on a regular Tuesday call, or on a call with people in another meeting, or what?
If we could call, if you're on a call, we can call in, and if we have something urgent from our meeting, but I don't think
if
we will.
If you want to meet tomorrow evening because you're having a meeting and you wanted to, you know, to bring information to these people, or they have a questions or something, I'll meet in the room with you at a certain time.
Yeah, we don't have anything specific. I just wanted to find out if you were going to meet. And I thought it was a regular Tuesday meeting or conference call.
We were going to do it that way, but it really, you know, we have to have a subject to focus in on. So I'm doing it by appointment. And even if we get an appointment every Tuesday, we'll do it every Tuesday. But we have to have an appointment with a group of people or a couple of people that are interested in a particular subject matter that we want to talk about in depth. And when we do that, we'll start recording those things also.
Okay, I'll share that with the committee tomorrow. But listen, I wanted to find out if the Edgar County Watchdogs or the Constitution Party have been in contact with you or Gerard?
Not with me, no. I'd love to talk with them, but no, I haven't.
Okay.
No, me neither.
You've got my phone number, right?
Yeah, they were going to make arrangements so that they would know your number if they called them.
Right.
They would answer. Apparently, you don't answer if you don't know the number, and they don't answer if
I answer every call that I hear, but I don't hear every call because I'm busy. But yeah, I will have to, if I know that someone's going to make contact, I'll definitely keep an ear on my phone. Because what happens sometimes, literally my phone will ring every 10, 15, 20 minutes and I just can't get nothing done. I mean, and sometimes I go for quite some time without anyone calling me, but it gets pretty bad and I can't think at some point. I will keep an eye open now that I know that someone's looking to make contact.
Well, John, let me ask you this. I thought you were really interested in talking to the Edgar County Watchdog.
Absolutely, sure.
I have a number right here if you want me to give it to you.
Send it to me at mail, M-A-I-L, just tell me what it is, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. But I don't know whether it's wise for me to go and solicit them. I think it's better if someone goes and represents us and say, hey, do you know about National Liberty Alliance, and makes the connection for us so that we can have a leadership meeting. If I call that number, I don't even know whether we'll be speaking with anyone that has really the organization level that organized that. You know, we want to really discuss with the principals of the group, not just with anyone. That's,
well, they just did two meetings that where they will come out and teach, and we just had what was it, a week ago? Is Francine on? She knows.
Yeah, we had where he's talking about. He's from Allegheny County, and Rosalind set up the meeting with Edgar County Watchdogs. We've got one set up in Wisconsin. John, you don't need to get involved. It belongs with the committees of safety, and they deal with their issues, and so it would just be a waste of time for you to call.
I agree, because they have to be communicating with the people at the feet on the ground, right at the grassroots level. That's where the information needs to go. There's no reason for me to put my mind into it. I got other things to give attention to, but I will do anything I can to support.
Well, we are putting them on our website. I mean, we are pushing them. You know what I mean? We're
promoting them.
We're promoting them, exactly.
And I believe Loudoun County is also setting up a meeting with them as well. So it's moving around the country. That's the idea, is that they'll
right.
different committees of safety around the country. That's the plan.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
You, everybody. Yeah.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night.